Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you just as we are. We have lots of excuses. I'll follow you when I get my life together. Well, Lord, that's never going to happen without you. I'll follow you when things get more organized. Well, Lord, that's not going to happen without you. Let us come just as we are. So whatever it is that we bring here today, Lord, let's leave it at the foot of the cross. You have some words for us today to help us understand more deeply your love for us, your concern for the world, and for our opportunities to be your witnesses. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would it be an official sermon if I didn't say that? Grace and peace, if I just started talking, would I have to go back later? What do you think, no? Yeah, I wouldn't like it as much. Okay, then you got to say amen at the end. So you know when I'm starting and when I'm done. When my rambling's over, I'm starting my sermon rambling. Well, Gouge Your Eye Out Sunday is quite a Sunday, isn't it? What'd you think about all that? You know, if we did that, we would be one main society, would we not? And we would never even get close to getting to the cause of our sin. We'll get into that in a little bit. But there's actually three parts to this reading, and they all lead to the same thing. They all lead to God's great love for us and how much he loves the people that don't yet know him. And he wants us to get rid of those things that stand in the way of us being an effective witness to other people. That's what it's all about, is growing his kingdom. Because God loves all people, amen? God desires all people to come to the knowledge of the truth, amen? God wants everyone to be with him in heaven. But the sad fact is that not all will be in heaven. Is there an unforgivable sin? What is it? Not believing in Christ. Yeah, Jesus called it blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, why would we say blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is what brings us to faith. We come to faith basically in two ways. One, in the waters of our baptism, the Word of God, with his water and his spirit. So we don't believe in a separate water and spirit baptism. We believe that God takes care of all of that at once. The other way is faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is the word of Christ. So the Holy Spirit is in God's word. So we're looking to come. The Holy Spirit is that which brings us to faith. So if we blaspheme the Holy Spirit, we're shooting the tires out of the vehicle that's going to bring us into faith. You get my point there? So really, the only unforgivable sin is lack of belief in Jesus Christ, which was said right from the very beginning. But since I'm a pastor, I got to expound on it for 5 minutes and then bring it right back to where it started from. You were right, Bev. We could have left it there, but you know, you pay me for by the word. So you get them. So that's the only forgivable, that unforgivable sin. So what God is interested in, and all the other sins that we do are misdemeanors to God. There's no venial and there's no mortal sin like some people make distinctions. It's all just sin in God's eyes. So it's important that we get the word out. In our Old Testament reading, a very interesting thing occurs. Moses is fed up with the Israelites. They're whining. They're complaining. Oh, gosh, when we were in Egypt, we had garlic. We had onions. We had things to flavor this manna with. Of course, they're not saying anything about the whippings they endured on a regular basis, about the 20-hour days they were forced to work, about the murders that were happening among them all the time. They were just thinking about what they didn't have. And so they start whining. They start complaining to Moses, and Moses is getting frustrated. So he brings his frustrations to God. He goes, God, why are you saddling me with these people? Did I give them birth? Are they my responsibility? Really do something about this? Either that or just kill me. Just take my life now. If you care about me, just kill me. So the guy, all right, relax, Moses. Take it easy. Call 70 people together. We get 70 people together that are men of God. Put them in a room. I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit on them, and they will assist you in your duties. So they get these 70 people, the Holy Spirit comes on, and they begin to prophesy. Do any of you prophesy? Well, let's define prophesy. Prophesy doesn't mean who's going to win the 49er Charger game today. Prophesy means sharing the word of God. Does anybody here share the word of God? You are prophesying, right? So anyway, he pours the Spirit out on the, they begin to share the word of God. Well, apart from those people in this one place, these other two characters, Eldad and Medad, they start prophesying. And Moses' sidekick, Joshua, sees what's going on. And he points the finger at them to Moses, goes, Master, these two guys aren't part of us. And they're sharing the word of God. And Moses goes, well, what are you jealous on my sake? I wish everybody prophesied. You know, it's all of our job. How many of you know that? How many of you know that the pastor's job is to equip you to be ministers in the world? Because you go places, you know people, you do things that I simply cannot do. You have contacts that I don't have. So it's up to you to bring the word of God to those people. And you don't have to, you don't even have to be Lutheran. We'll take Baptists. We'll take Methodists. We'll take people that haven't made up their mind yet. Well, we'll take whoever comes. And then the same thing happens in the gospel reading. John comes running up to Jesus and goes, oh, Jesus, you won't believe what I just did. I saved your good name. There's a guy out here driving out demons in your name, but he wasn't one of us. So I told him to stop. Jesus goes, knock it off. If they're not against us, they're for us. And so you see, it's not about, you don't have to have the right denominational credentials. You don't have to have the right something. You just have to love God. You just have to have experienced his grace to share it. Because we can't transmit something that we don't have. But God sends his Spirit not through seminaries only, but through everyday ordinary life. All of you are here today, I have to assume, is because you've had a close encounter of the Jesus kind. That Jesus has brought you here, and you're here to thank him for that. And now we're being called on to share that with us. So then he goes on to say, he seems like he jumps, but he doesn't really jump, because he's going to drive to the point of being salt, and that's the final conclusion, but we're not there yet. I still have some time left. So we're moving along, and he says, whoever causes these little ones who believe in me. The little ones are people, I think, that are young in the faith. Whoever causes one of these little ones who have started off on a faith journey, but yet are caused to stumble by something that we do, by some two-faced thing that we do. You know, I've heard it said once by Karl Barth, one of our great theologians of the time, that the leading cause of atheism in our society today are Christians, who, though they profess one thing, the way they live their lives witnesses to something completely different. It's what an unbelieving world finds unbelievable. What do you think? People that profess to be Christ and yet spew hate, that spew division, that don't exhibit grace and mercy and peace. I think he's onto something there. And that's what Jesus is trying to avoid. Whenever you get some new person in the faith and then you live this terrible life that and then you claim to be a Christian that leads them astray, it would be better for you not to have been born. But it would be better for the community if they put a millstone around your neck and throw you into the depth of the sea. Jesus is serious about sin. And like I said, all sin can be forgiven. The only thing that is not forgiven is lack of faith in Jesus. Because if you don't believe in Jesus, you're not going to ask him for forgiveness, right? That's the only thing that will keep us out of heaven, is lack of faith in Christ. So then Jesus gets personal. He says, if anyone would, and now he gets to, if your hand causes you to sin, if your eye causes you to stumble, if your foot causes you to stumble. Now, like I said earlier, if we started hacking off body parts, we'd be one maimed society. We would all be like paraplegic in a hospital bed. And even if our eyes and arms and legs and everything else was cut off, where does sin start from? Our hearts. Yeah, we see it and we want it and can't have it, so we begin to covet. That's the way it is. It's our heart. It's in our heart. So what we need to do is put to death that. And that's what the idea of baptism is, drowning that old sinful Adam, because we inherit that sinful flesh. We inherit that sinful heart. So the idea of baptism is drowning that, putting to death the old Adam so that the new Adam, Christ, can live in us. Galatians 2:20 says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You don't need to have great self-esteem, but you should have great Christ esteem, amen? Because it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And if you're seeing me, I'm not doing something fully right. I mean, we still have our own personalities. Don't get me wrong there. But they should see Christ in us. David, after his great sin with Bathsheba, was called out on it. He repented and he wrote the 51st Psalm. Remember that? He talked about his sinful heart. He didn't talk about his hands. He didn't talk about his eyes. He didn't talk about any other of his body parts. He just talked about his heart. And he didn't even ask God to fix that heart. Remember what he said? We sing it quite often. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That's how we remember things. We sing it in liturgy. I was at a Water Boys for Jesus function in Maryland once, and they said, who knows Psalm 51? So I started singing it. And it's amazing how song can help you remember things. I got a lot more to say about that, but it has nothing to do with my sermon. So I, believe it or not, I'm going to go forward here. So why is this important? Why is it important that we deal with the sin that's in us? It's because we're supposed to be salt, right? Do you see the cover bulletin? The salt and the sign of the cross. I thought in some neighborhoods somebody might think that's a line of cocaine or something, but it's not. It's just salt. It's salt. We're supposed to be salt. So what is salt? What is it about salt that makes it so desirable? Well, one of the things that it does is salt acts upon something else, right? It doesn't just sit there and be acted upon. I think many of us Christians, we come to church, we sit in the pews, we ask God to act upon us, but yet we're not penetrating the world. We're not acting upon the world. We need God to act upon us, but then we need to be salt. Salt kept in its shaker is of no value, amen? You got to put it onto something. And then it influences it. It flavors it. So we're supposed to be flavor. It also can de-ice. You know, when we lived in, any of you ever live in the snow countries? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about then? Lived in Maryland for 5 years, and they have these huge, huge barns. Maybe not as big as the sanctuary, but big. And they're all full of sand. And by the end of the snow season, it's going to be gone and refilled a dozen or two times because they put it in dump trucks. They take the dump trucks out. They spread it out all over the road, and it helps to melt the ice. It takes away the ice. So what does that mean for us? Is there any coldness, frigidity in the world today? Is there some place that we can bring the warmth of the gospel to? Proverbs Proverbs 15. It says, a soft word turneth away wrath, but a word spoken in anger stirs up dissension. Something I need to put on my mirror so I can be thinking about it all the time. Because how often do I hear a harsh word and respond in likeness? Well, we're called to be different. We're called to offer a soft word. When somebody comes at us, it probably has nothing to do with you. It's more about where they're coming from. What have they been through? We have no idea what someone else that we come into contact is experiencing in their lives at that particular moment. So when someone comes at you very angrily, you can either respond that way and stir up the dissension, or you could say something like, wow, you really seem to be upset about this. What's going on? What's happening? How can I help? Just try to diffuse the situation. De-ice. That's what salt's supposed to do. We are supposed to be salt. We have been forgiven so we can forgive others. It also creates thirst. You know the old idiom, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But you can put salt in the oats, make him thirsty, right? All right, you can make him thirsty. By our good living, by our good conduct, by the joy that manifests itself in our lives, that finds an expression in our faces and the way that we conduct our everyday affairs, can be very attracting to people. It can cause them to be thirsty. I remember walking around in the shipyard. People would come up to me and go, "Dave, how come you're happy all the time? It's not even payday." I go, "Maybe not for you, but it is for me. Because every day Christ forgives me of my sins. I walk with my Savior. So every day is a good day for me." They ask questions about it. Now, I don't want to make myself sound too good, because Dana worked with me for 12 years in the shipyard. He could tell you other stories. I can remember one time losing my stuff and getting kind of upset and slamming my hard hat down to the ground. The liner went one way, the helmet went the other way. And one of their quality insurance guys, Hector Trotto from Structural, said, "Man, you're not all that. Christians, you're not all that." And I go, "You know, absolutely not. And I never try to pretend like I am. I am just one step away from losing it all of my life. But I've got a God that sent his son to die for me, and he forgives me for those times. So I'm not all that, but the Jesus that I share with you is." Sometimes, you know, when we make a mistake, we can share the gospel, amen? What else? Healing. Through forgiveness, it's forgiveness that's received and offered. And how many of you growing up had your moms tell you if you had a cold, gargle with salt water, warm salt water? Did you guys do that? I don't know if it's a I don't know if I ever did that with my kid. You gargle with warm salt. Do you still get guys doing that? Everybody's doing that? Yeah? Okay. I guess it's still a thing. And then they'd put a little Vicks on a little handkerchief or something and tie it around your neck so you'd inhale it all during the night and help your nose to stay unclogged. Well, salt has healing properties. You know, they say surfers have the lowest rate of sinus infections of anybody because they're in the water all the time and they get the salt. Salt has a lot of healing that goes along with it. And that's what we're called to be. We're called to be healers. To forgiveness is the first step in reconciliation. Forgiveness doesn't always have to lead to reconciliation. And don't get me wrong. There's some people that you need to forgive, but you certainly shouldn't be reconciled to. You should let them go their own way. And you just need to forgive them and move on with your life. But generally, we like to be reconciled to people. So we're supposed to bring healing. We're supposed to be salt. It's also a preservative. In Jesus' day, they didn't have refrigeration. So to keep meat from getting rotten, they salted it. And the salt kept it good for a long time. The salt is the Word of God. And the Word of God helps to keep us from being rotten as well. There's a story about this. You hear them every now and then. Stories about a letter carrier that just gets frustrated with their job, so they just decide not to deliver the mail. They stash tons of it up in their attic, and then it's discovered, and they end up getting charged with delaying mail service, I guess. Get a charge for something. What good is a mail letter carrier if he doesn't deliver the mail? What good are we as Christians if we don't share the gospel? You following me on this? I said earlier that we're salt, but what good is salt if it stays in the shaker? So my counsel to you this Sunday is, you are the salt of the world. Go out there and get shaken. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.